That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does. It will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak. As they sow,
and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. That old wheel has rolled around. It is Saturday morning once again, Saturday morning, June 10th, and we are coming to you live from a green, not hippie green Radio Ranch, but the grass is green Radio Ranch this morning, and blue skies and sunshine and white fluffy clouds, and it is a beautiful day outside, and again, June 10th. And we welcome you here, and we've got some men on the line, and we'll bring everybody on. Tim, good morning, sir.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
And Jason, good morning to you.
Good morning.
And Paul, good morning. Welcome from Michigan.
Good morning.
And I didn't know if anybody else came on. Remnant from Sea to Shining Sea, we say good morning. Again, it's Saturday, June 10th. We're glad you're here with us. We'll have the phone lines open. Let me get that button pushed. And if you have a call or a question, and we've got our coffee, we've got our Bibles, we're going to open up in prayer first. Jason, would you open us up in prayer this morning?
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you for this day, and we just ask, Father, that you continue to be with your remnant, be with your people across this land. Pray, Father, that they just continue to turn their hearts and their minds back to you, Father, that they put away the cares of the world and they seek you and your ways first and foremost. We hold up the shield of faith and we call for all the fiery darts of the evil one to be extinguished, and all these fiery darts that they send against us, Father, we ask that you return them. Return due to sender. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Well, again, Remnant, a live program this morning, and the phone lines, they're open, 307-745-5913. A couple quick announcements. We are working on Volume 4 of the newsletter, and getting it printed, and we'll get that in the mail the first part of this week for you. So I think you'll enjoy it. There's a good variety, a little bit of everything, talking about one of the things that our enemy just cannot stop doing, and that is their push for gun control. And they continue to do it. It is an age-old issue, because our enemy understands that they have to take our means of protection away, at least on the firearm side, before they overthrow us. So we hope you get the Dragon Slayer newsletter. If you don't, if you contact us here, we'd be glad to send you a copy. And right after we get it mailed out, we'll get to work on the online version, and we can email that out to you as well. And we'll have it posted at the website. Busy week, lots going on. And I want to remind you also, we have spring is almost over. And so that means as the seasons change, we have another 91st day coming up, June 18th, just 8 days away. Still time, if you want some more information on that, we have the 91st days packet. We'd be glad to send it to you, let you read Pastor Peter's writings and teachings on the 91st days. I think of them as Sabbath between the seasons for God's agricultural people. I think is how it was set up. So anyway, that's what's going on there.
The chairs are raising their head pretty high. You know, they're having a big, whatever they are, the queer balls, having a heyday here in Grand Haven this weekend. And I see a little town north of me, about 20 miles. They had a bunch of queers painting outside of a building, a rainbow. So, yeah, they're really getting adamant.
It's a pretty big deal when you see a lot of that kind of stuff going on in our small areas. Go ahead, Jason.
No, go ahead, Tim.
Well, I like what you said about that. And I was, Paul, as far as they are getting, they're bold. You know, when our God commands us to be bold too. So I think it's, one of those things they call us, they want to classify us as terrorists or as, people that are evil and you know, something to be afraid of, because we are bold against those people. And I think that you wear it like a badge. It's like, thank you, Jesus. I mean, they notice, and they notice our God. They don't like it. So,
well, we are.
Yeah, that's
for them. Go ahead.
Yeah. No. We can see there's so much stuff, and I don't know. Does anybody know about this? I just started hearing about it, but it was the banking crisis of 2023, and there's some analysis that are saying that it's going to be even worse than the 2008 deal. That there's already, and it's including Chase Bank and stuff. But then, and I really can't find a whole lot about it. Does anybody know anything about that?
No, just bits and pieces. It's unself-destruct. There ain't no two ways about it. No, the whole banking system is fraud. And sometime they're going to have to pay the reaper, and just a huge amount of investments going through this pandemic thing. You have people buying houses at exorbitant prices, and they're going to have to be paid for, you know, to the system. But, yeah, I don't hear very little bit of just bits and pieces. But that's getting to the core of the matter when they go down, because it's going to affect us all.
Yeah, they continue to. There have been a lot of banks dropping, and they're losing a lot more. They don't want to talk about it because it creates the runs on the banks and all this kind of stuff creates a self-fulfilling prophecy, I guess. I did notice, kind of ties in with that, Jason, is a home foreclosure surged in the United States 7% in April. Those are kind of the latest numbers, with people being unable to make their payments. Florida, California, and Texas were hit the worst. I don't think anybody would be overly surprised about California being in that boat. But, everything's oversold. And we were talking to some people there the other day, and they were, this housing market's not going to go down. And it's like, well, there's they've created all these bubbles with easy, cheap money, and people don't work, and people don't, you know, they're overbuying and living above their means, and these things are going to happen. Like Paul said, you got to pay the piper sooner or later. So we're seeing it. We're seeing those chickens come home to roost, so to speak.
Well, we're America suffering from debt, you know, and God's remedy is to unload debt every 7 years, and you'd be very prosperous. But, you know, we're just, that's been ignored for how long? I read one time where the Liberty Bell cracked on a jubilee because the American people didn't keep it, and that Liberty Bell cracked. And I think that was on a jubilee. I don't remember where it read or anything, but... that's real possible. But if you go back that far, we haven't kept God's Sabbaths or jubilees or anything. It's just accumulated and has to happen. So, you know.
Absolutely.
Well, those jubilees and those Sabbaths, you know, a lot of people, they don't believe them, and they don't think that they have to have them. You know, it's, you know, they don't take a seventh-day rest. They don't give their fields a seven-year rest. And they don't forgive the debt.
The very last chapter, Second Chronicles, at the very end, the land will get a Sabbath. I mean, I don't remember the whole story there, but they said the land got a Sabbath, and I think our land will get a Sabbath also. These farmers, you know, I know one who keeps, you know, the Sabbath day holy, and farms right through every Sabbath. You know, everybody thinks that, you know, just one law is still in effect, but all his laws are in effect. We got to pay a big price.
Yeah.
You know, the great falling away.
Everybody talks about how tired they are. I mean, I hear that a lot. Well, man, I'm just wore out. I mean, I've heard that from multiple people, and I don't like to use those words. I avoid them. But the fact is I do hear that a lot from other folks, and they are. There's no denying it, but the land's worn out too. All we got to do is look around, and it's like, well, you know, when you're really tired, you take a rest. And we haven't allowed anyone to. That was one of the first things they did in the public school system, was reinforce this idea that, and to this day, if you ask somebody, well, you know, if you pay all this and do all that, you know, as far as that goes, is that a good thing? Well, yeah, good people, they somehow there's this equation that has been built between the fact that you do what you say and keep your word, and mostly that just applies to money matters, you know what I mean? It's like, but when they're not keeping their word, when they loan you false things, and when they give you junk, and when they put you into those chains, and it's such a one-way street. Everybody thinks that you know, they got something, so they have to give back. When in essence, I like that verse in the Bible where it says, "If they keep on knocking, you'll give them a loaf of bread." I can't think of the location right now, but or the address. But he said, "Well, what one of us would give our son or our neighbor a snake or something like that?" But those enemies of God would give you a snake, and did, you know, and they want you to give them back something good. So,
yeah, they can't help it. It's just what they do. God has allowed them to be in and to be in their position because we've done just what we're talking about. We've neglected his Sabbaths for ourselves, for the land, his days. A day of rest we've neglected. Sunday morning, you know, when we're out driving to church, and traditionally Sunday has been the day of a day of rest and a day of worship here in this nation since its inception. And the country, even there's many people don't realize the country even had what they call blue laws that said, no, you can't have businesses on Sunday. It's a day of rest. It's a day to honor God. And And of course, that's been thrown out the window. But I remember growing up, and you didn't have restaurants open. You didn't have the, you know, everything open. You didn't have all the big convenience stores and all that stuff. And on Sunday, we'd get up, go to church, and maybe we'd go over to Aunt Margie's for dinner, or we'd go home. And that was it. And you pretty much stayed home the rest of the day. Maybe went over to a cousin's house or something, but you didn't have the stores open, and you didn't have, and I'm talking just back in the early 70s. And my, how it's changed, it is. You know, Deuteronomy 32:6 says, "Do you thus repay the Lord, O foolish and unwise people?" And the Bible says, "Who's the fool but he who says there is no God?" And that's how so much of this nation, whether it knows it or not, but that's how it acts. It says one thing. Oh, yeah, we believe in God. They do surveys all the time. 68%, 72%. People still believe in God. But what are their actions? When we're going to church on Sunday morning here, the traffic coming the other way, depending on the season, four-wheelers and sailboats and jet skis and hikers and fishermen. And it's just, it's like, you know, was mentioned, it's just another day to so many people. And then they wonder why the economy's in a mess. They wonder why, like you said, Tim, they're just so tired. They can't get ahead. They can't, you know, and then the health issues follow right behind it. It's because everything's out of order. It's out of order from the intention, from the original intent of the founding of this nation.
And well, until there's a turning back. The size of the hospital. I went through a little conservative area in Indiana last week, and there's this huge hospital. I mean, people are sick everywhere, you know. They connect on the dots because the food chain is bankrupt as far as nutrition. The supplement business is really big, but we're going down the wrong road for sure.
Amen.
Yeah, and they're really proud of being sick. I mean, I talk to people every day who are just, it's, I don't even know how to describe it almost, but they're, oh, well, I went, he said he'd never seen anybody as bad as me, you know, the doctor. I mean, it was awful. It was, well, you know, and they just, and I get to go back next week, and they're proud of the fact that they're sick. I mean, it's some kind of sacrifice to a God or something that, and you know, God's, one of God's blessings is that we'll be healthy and live off the fat of the land and bounce around like the young calf from the stall. And it's like, they're like, what about you? You know, like you want to join in and get in on some of this? It's like, no, I'm just great. Thanks. I mean, I'm, I slept last, you know, you get a few aches and pains here and there, but nothing that's noteworthy. I mean, so we look at some of that, and it just leaves you, I don't know, it leaves me shaking my head when I see it. I'm like, you poor people. I mean, I give God the credit that, no, by the grace of God, I'm healthy and whole and feel great, and my mind works okay, and there's just, there's a ton of, I mean, all you got to do is get online or something and look at the ads that pop up to realize how proud everybody is of being sick. I mean, it's like, wow. So, it's sad.
You're the only person I ever heard say that, because I've seen it years ago. I had a knee replaced, you know, and they're really proud of it, you know?
Yeah.
I guess I'm more proud I didn't need it.
I didn't need one. Yeah, exactly. It's like, no, I'm fine, thanks. So, yeah, they look forward to it almost. It's like it's some really great thing.
You hear about the outbreak at the Glendale School when they had that protest just recently?
No, what was it?
Out in California, it was kind of interesting, and it was basically there was a protest, and parents are asking for transparency, and I'll read part of this article. It was really interesting. Couple of interesting points about it. Glendale, California, parents who were present on Tuesday's school board meeting are sharing the inside story about their protest against sexual curriculum content that erupted into violence. Three people were arrested outside of the Glendale United School District headquarters when parents concerned about sexual and LGBTQ curriculum content clashed with Antifa activists. Families of kids in the district, particularly the Armenian American and the Hispanic communities, planned Tuesday's protest after months of demonstrating and speaking out at school board meetings. The parents are calling for more transparency at the end of certain LGBTQ curriculum policies that they say are at the least completely age inappropriate. It's been the parents asking for transparency, parents asking for rights, parents asking to stop certain curriculum in K through 8th grades, and basically it's like talking to a wall. And it broke out into violence. The interesting thing about the whole thing is it was the Armenian Americans and the Hispanics that started the protest and had the protest. And basically, as you continue on to read, it's like, hey, we want to be able to teach our children what we want to teach them, and we don't want this crap being taught to our children. And it's interesting how it's, different ethnic groups of people that they can identify them as, and these are the ones that are protesting.
Wow. No doubt. Well, I seen one the other day, a clip go by, and I don't remember what city it was in, but he was a black man, and he got up and started reading out of one of their books at the school board meeting, and oh my goodness, they just come unwound. I mean, it was vile, and they told him to stop reading that, and he's like, but it's okay to teach. This book is being read to our children, you know, and, but they set up their it was a bigger city because that school board meeting looked like a Supreme Court outfit up there on this elevated dais, you know. And
And I've seen the same thing. Yeah. It's like, these people that are they start reading out of this book, and they're like, okay, that we don't want to hear it enough. Can we move on? And then, okay, well, yeah, we can go to this book. What about reading this? And there was a lady that was doing a demonstration, and she was going through the curriculum that's being taught, and she's like, how is this, teaching our children anything, this, she's like, this is nothing but pornography. And it's horrible. How is this going to teach a kid anything? And, it's like the whole school board's just hanging their head and, next, can we move on here? And that's all they wanted to say. And, they know, but it's coming to light more and more and more. But these are creatures of instincts, and I've been saying it more and more because I'm trying to get that point across that they are creatures of instincts. We've got an alien race amongst us. They come to steal, kill, and destroy, and that's what they're out for blood.
Absolutely.
My blood.
Yeah, and the blood of our children. It's nothing new. That's what they've wanted from the very beginning. And it comes from the very top. Saw a headline today reminded me there's been some somewhat infamous president quotes. Kennedy, which was in Paul's day, I think he was a little bit before most of the rest of us, but he had a famous quote that said, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. And that was a pretty famous quote from him. And then Reagan, Reagan is credited with what are the 9 most dangerous words you ever hear? And it's, I'm from the government and I'm here to help you. And I think he said that on Johnny Carson and got a big laugh and all that. And they put that out. And so here's some quotes from President Joe O'Biden this week. Parents that are protecting their children from transgenderism and irreversible surgery, those parents are hysterical, they are prejudiced, they are cruel and terroristic. And so, like you're saying, Jason, these protests, guess what? These school boards, they get it from the top down. They get it from the top down. If they
yeah,
want to
they
keep
do.
Getting
they
that
really do.
Federal money, if they want to keep getting that federal money, they get it from the top down. I had a neighbor send me an email yesterday, and apparently Laramie, since they closed down the, you know, for the summer, the schools are closed for the summer, they've put out that they're looking to close the little Harmony School down the road that's got about 20 students, and the Centennial School, which has about 15 students. And it's like a K through 6 or whatever. And see, they want to shut down these rural schools. It's not that they're budget problems. It's not that this and that. It's that they can't control, they can't push and promote the LGBTQ agenda. They can't make sure that they have litter boxes for the furries, for the children that want to relate to being a cat or a dog and need to pee in a litter box out in the rural schools. So the school board just says, well, we're just going to have to shut you down this year. And the parents are there just out here in little rural Laramie. They are pitching a fit. And that's a good thing. It's a good thing. It's another awakening to, I like how you put it, Jason. I hope people remember that. Those creatures of instinct that are out for blood. It's what they do. We ask so many times, why do they do this? Why would they do that? Don't they see? Don't they know? And they ain't like us. They think differently. They act differently because they are different. And their job is to steal, kill, and destroy the what we think of as a Christian American way of life and Christian Americans. That's their job. And they're doing pretty good at it.
I seen an article the other day of all the people that are backing this thing. You know, General Motors, Ford, Pepsi, just about every corporation is behind this whole thing this month. And they're losing money, but they're not even backing off like Jason talked about last week or the week before. They're losing money, but they're just not backing off. They're going to push this thing. But that's all the corporate world. You know, if you want to be in the corporation, and they're robbing you blind, you know, you go to a big box store, the profit leaves the area. It goes to corporate headquarters. And it's a local economy is extremely important. My dad back in the 60s wouldn't let, you know, Myers came, big chain started coming in. We had two little stores here in this town. You see, he wouldn't let her go to the big box stores. He's seen that way back then, you know, that we needed a local economy. And you need a profit in the neighborhood, because that always gets shared. You know, if you're doing good, if you have a little store and you contribute to the park or some community thing, and it's all local. But when it goes to the corporate headquarters, there's a Tractor Supply Street here down the road. The thermostat is set from corporate headquarters. They can't even set it themselves in the building.
Yeah, another one of those lists. You mentioned Ford and GM. Saw a headline this morning, Cracker Barrel. Cracker Barrel with their little LGBTQ rainbow-themed rocking chairs out in front of the Cracker Barrel. And it is. It's like you said, Paul, it's corporate. It's the corporate America that is embracing this. When you read about Babylon the Great, do a Bible study on Babylon. Take a look and see what that looks like in Revelation. And they stand together and they fall together. And in that time of harvest, you know, you've been hearing that from each and every one of us, Remnant, for the last, I don't know, year or two, that time of harvest is upon us, because we see the tares and they continue to do it. That harvest just continues to move forward, the approach of that time of harvest, because the tares are there out there. They're standing up straight and tall, raising up their hands saying, hey, yeah, me too. Don't forget me. We're part of that. And that's what they're doing. And the line is being drawn, and they are. You know, wait till you see, and I don't know if it's going to happen or not, but wouldn't it be good to see Cracker Barrel lose $13 million, like Target and Kohl's or Billion or whatever it is. And Bud Light haven't recovered yet. They tried
old Garth Brooks. They're still going down the Flusher, yeah.
Yeah, they threw old Garth Brooks out there, and Garth Brooks get up there, you know, hey, America, how you doing? I serve every kind of beer at my bar, including Bud Light. You know, they're trying to do that, and the people are saying, and flipping their nose at him. But they're trying.
and it's in desperation. We are seeing the desperate death throes of this Babylonian system, and it's good. It's exciting to be able to see it. It really is.
Well, I guess Chick-fil-A even is on the other side, and they always push Christian values, but they're so full of crap. The whole business is phony. You know,
yeah.
When I seen that, you have nothing you can buy that we use every day. It's just about the control by these people. So, and they're losing money, and they don't even care. They are going to go ahead with their agenda.
That's right.
And kind of going back to the they're out for blood thing, Mark 7:9, you know, says, full well you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your own tradition. You know, and then just a little cherry pick there, but if we skip on down there to verse 13, but he says... that they make the word of God of no effect, you know, and that the blood that they're after is Christ's blood. That's the blood they're out for. They want to take it away from us. They want to make us unpalatable to our God. They want to make us, they want to make his sacrifice of no effect. And just like the stories in the Old Testament where they set the beautiful women out and the men intermarried and or they didn't keep their camp clean, or they did all of the evil things in the sight of God that alienated God from them. That's what they're trying to do to us. And it's like, no, it's not going to happen. So there's those of us who just absolutely won't do that. Verse 13 says, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which you have delivered. And many such like things do you. So, you know, when we understand that's what they're all about. I mean, that's the underlying concept there is, let's make them unclean, let's make them undesirable. Let's, you know, they're using what they're doing is they're using the laws that God set out for our benefit. They're trying to use them against his people, and you know. Bring about that uncleanness, whether it's violating the Sabbath or whether it's supporting the fags and the queers and the gender benders or mixing DNAs to create abhorrent things to God that destroy his creation, or I mean financial systems that rape, pillage, and destroy people's means and those things. I mean, it's a multi-pronged attack when we look at it, but they're going to lose.
Yeah, I think so too. And I want to go back to and read something real quick. This is talking about what you were talking about with the farmers and stuff, Paul. But I put this in from the editor on the Dragon Slayer newsletter. But it says we are seeing this with a lot of our local farmers market, small businesses. Supporting your local farmer strengthens your community and your local economy. On average, only 10 cents of every food dollar returned to the farmer. The other 90% goes to corporations for packaging, marketing, transportation. Farmers who sell directly to the consumer receive about 80 cents of every food dollar, a needed economic boost during this time in our lives. Freshly picked in-season produce is at peak flavor and nutrition. Not only is buying locally an economic win for your community, but you benefit by getting to know your neighbors and eating fresher, healthier food. Win-win. And I believe this principle is taught in Mark 12:30-31, and it needs to be remembered. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second of this is you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. And that's one thing that, I've noticed is there is our farmers markets are growing growing like crazy. I mean, they've added another one, and people are going to it, and they are, and it used to be, I mean, people, the people that didn't go to the farmer's market, they're like, oh, we're going to pay a premium for stuff. And it actually, the prices come down on some of the stuff, and it's sometimes you can get some really good deals on stuff. It's not an economic burden to support your local farmer. You do get a lot better produce, a lot better product. It is fresher. It's not, you know, it's not, they don't gas your tomatoes in a semi-trailer to make them ripen or do it synthetically. It's stuff that they picked, you know, that's fresh. They picked it the day before, that day of the farmer's market, and bring it there. And, you know, these people are, I mean, they're starting to flourish where it used to be. I mean, it was just hand to mouth. They're growing. They're putting in more greenhouses. They're putting in more acreage into their tomato field or their corn fields and doing that. And we're seeing it. And that's, you know, that is building communities. That's getting, you know, keeping the money back into the community is huge on an economic standpoint. But, you know, a health standpoint wise, it's just, I mean, it's so much better for people also.
It sure is.
Well, yeah.
Amen.
So a lot of many people use this on Amazon. They have it put on their doorstep for the food, too. They'll bring it to you, you know, and people are just flat lazy and they don't care. You know, that I tell my, I got a grandson who uses Amazon all the time. And, you know, and a credit card, and I get on his case. You know, but it just goes right over his head. But he don't understand. He's all about himself at the moment. He got a lot of influence around him. He'll get to him eventually, but he got to learn it for himself. But, yeah, he's destroying the local economy, and he don't even care. That's tragic.
They just don't know. Guys, let's try the phone lines. Welcome. Good morning. Welcome, caller, to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, Richard. This is Terry from Warrensburg.
Good morning, Terry.
How you guys doing?
Doing well, sir.
Yeah, I know a lot of pain. My hand is all swollen. Had trouble sleeping last night. But the reason I called, you guys remember the USS Liberty that was attacked by Israel?
Yes.
June 8th, 1967. You remember that?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Well, anyway, our founder of True News, TRU News, he made a movie and got together with the survivors to tell their story. And it's on True News. Part one was yesterday and part two is today. And I think you'll find it heartbreaking and bring tears to your eyes what happened on that ship. But when you go to True News, Vic Wiles, W-I-L-E-S.
Yeah, Pastor had interviewed.
Yeah,
and
it is a fantastic documentary. And also, if you want more information on it, Pastor Peters, and we've got the interviews available, but he interviewed USS Liberty survivors, Phil Turney. Several times. And we've broadcast those quite a few times over the years, and it used to be years and years ago, Dad would have him on every June 8th on the radio and talk about the incident, and you know, a tragic incident, and a tragic cover-up, and covered it up for a long time, and then basically they just left him out there to die.
Johnson was in charge of that too. He wanted that ship sunk. By the grace of God, they were.
Yeah,
able
and there's
to,
a bunch of interviews with some survivors on YouTube as well that I've watched over the years that are really, really good. And yeah, I mean, just, you know, something that you know needs to be remembered.
Yeah, big cover up. They took the dry dock and patched up all the holes in it and repainted the ship before they brought it back to the States. And the men were told, if they said anything about this, they were going to go to prison. And they, back in 2020, they got together with Rick Wells in his studio there, and they watched the film, and they commented on it. And all the survivors except one is still living today. It's sad what our government did back then.
It is.
Well, Terry, thank you. Yeah, it's truth that so many don't know. They just they don't realize, but it's truth even from now. That's a previous generation, but of how our government can be and how they are, and it's not loving God with all their heart, mind, and soul, and loving their neighbors themselves for sure. Well, Terry, thank you, brother. God bless you. Have a great weekend. Thanks for calling.
God bless you too.
Yeah, in one of Colonel Moore's books, when they beat the crap out of Germany, you know, there was a train headed to Germany for relief and stuff like that. And President Eisenhower turned it around. He was in the Army at the time. He turned around and sent it back. And my brother was in Germany on the tail end of that. And those people were so beat down. It was pathetic. And it's just really hard to believe how bad they just hammered them. And that was all because they resisted the Federal Reserve, basically, because they had their own money system and they were prosperous. And they had to be dealt with. So, yeah, you read some of Colonel Moore's stuff on what really went on there. It's just, you know, and even I guess Roosevelt knew Pearl Harbor was coming. It's just betrayal of a people, you know, and these people that are lifers on the military, they think they've done so much for freedom. Well, I don't know what happened because it ain't working.
Well, their imaginations are only continually evil, the enemies of God. And I think that, you know, anything that comes down the pike from that, I mean, it's like, you really ought to be asking yourself, you know, okay, where's the other shoe? You know, what's the catch? Because there's always one. They don't have, there just is nothing there that they imagine that's not evil. You know, or vain. He said, Acts 4:25 said that the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things. And that's what we have. They rage. I mean, we talk about this whole, about all of this wickedness in high places that goes on. That's what it is. They're heathens and they're raging against God's people. I mean, rage is one of those unreasoning, incomprehensible things to us when we see it. I mean, it's like, why would you do that? You know, so, but, you know, thank God we can't understand it and that it doesn't make sense to us. I don't want to be in their mind because it's a nasty place. So.
Well, that's one of the problems we have. We think everybody's like us, you know, we're forgiving and tolerant and stuff like that. But they're not. But that's one of the sheep's problem, that we put up with this stuff, and we've been doing it for years. I used to tell Pastor Peter about weekly, curse the man that trusteth a man. I mean, that's just a fact of life. You know, he was pretty, he touched the electric fence a couple too many times. He got a little hard about that, about people, but he was more right. I had a friend, he was the most negative. His wife said, why are you so negative? He said, well, sometimes I'm right and I'm never disappointed.
That's a good one.
Yes. I can remember asking him one time why he you know, it's like, wait, you put yourself in some of those positions. And he said, that's my job. I have to give those, you know, that's my outreach. And he was right. I mean, but I just, you know, I was like, wow. But I like that. When I'm right, I'm really excited. Awesome.
No, he knew his job. He knew what he was called to do, and he did it, you know, because I remember in Amos, it said, an evil time, the prudent keep silent. I read that. I talked to him about that. He said, my job is to preach, you know. And he knew exactly what his job was, and he did it. And he was a great example to all of us here.
Amen.
Yes, amen. And we're seeing some of the things that he did preach and talk about. We're really seeing some of those things happen across the nation. Saw this headline this morning. 4,000 churches are splitting from the pro-LGBTQ+ United Methodist Church denomination. And so... so far this year, 4,645 churches have officially split
with the United Methodist Church over the authority of Scripture and the lordship of Jesus Christ, saying that in the leadership that has deteriorated, and the problem is playing out, and so that's a good thing. I know we talk about the Judeo-Christian churches out there, but again, when they are moving away from that type of leadership, when they're moving away from the church accepting open sin, that's a good move. That's a good move, and they're moving in the right direction.
Sheep to the right, goats to the left.
Yes.
But even at school, you can't save the school. They go protest these school boards and stuff. The best thing is, just like with the money taken away from Budweiser and whoever else, just leave, because you can't fix it. You just flat can't fix it. I came out of the church that I was raised in. I stayed there. You know, I knew I'd never go back in that administration room. I said, I'll never go back in that room. And then I had the youth group, and I had a good thing going, but there was no fixing it. I just had to leave. And Timothy says, having a former God that denied the power of Jesus Christ, from such withdraw thyself. That meant get out of there, is what it meant. So, and I did. We can't save this ship. We gotta take the lifeboat. We don't want to go down with the Titanic.
Yeah. I say that all the time, Paul, about the public school system. People are like, well, what we need to do to fix it? And I'm like, it's not broken. The public school system is not broken. It's
right.
Doing exactly what it was designed to do. If you go back and study your history and what it started on and who started it and what their plan was and what they were involved, it's exactly what we're doing. It's on topic, on plan for what they wanted. So, the option is turn your back on it and walk away. Let it wither on the vine and die.
Yes.
You know, that's where it's at.
Well, I pulled my kids out of a so-called Christian school because, you know, my income tax is a big deal to me at the time, and they're teaching them how to fill out their 1040s, and I said, that just flipped my switch. But it's just bigger than that. They're Babylonian schools, too. They still trust in the system, and they will be weaned from it if they want to be with God. So it's going to happen. Yeah, there's a lot of really good things happening. You stop and think about it.
Yes. Yeah, it's a wake-up call. Those who can, will. Those who can't, well, that's God knows, you know. So.
Well, it's getting obvious. You can't hide from it.
Jason and I were talking about the billions of dollars that are being lost by these corporate giants right now. And, a billion is one of those numbers that's kind of hard to get a handle on. You know, they throw those numbers around at the government level, trillion, billion, you know. I was just sitting there and I did a little quick research, and the average income in the United States is supposedly $75,000 a year. Does anybody have any idea how long? I know Jason does, but does anybody have any idea how long $1 billion will run someone on an average income basis?
Quite a while.
Yeah. 13,333 years.
We're going to find that.
Yeah, that's not a short-term investment.
Yeah, no kidding.
But you see, the thing of it is, if you understand the banking system, that don't bother them, because where does all this money come from? You know, there's big buildings they just tear down and redo, and, you know, where's it coming from? My brother had the banking system figured out. He went to prison for 7 years for it, but he could make a site draft, create his own money just like the banks do. And then they found out he wasn't in the club, so he went to prison. But, yeah, they can create their own money. That don't bother them that they lose this. They want to stay in control.
Yeah, the way they create wealth is they just print the money and they make you create the wealth. That's what you pay back. The actual value. is you.
Your signature is the value. Your signature is the value because they have nothing to give you except paper. They rob your labor. You got that little book, Billions for the Banker and Debt for the People. I kind of felt
it all. I've given away cases of them, literally. I think I still got it, half a case left, but yes. It's a good place to start.
You know, I carry a silver dollar in my pocket, and if I lay a silver dollar on the table and a $100 bill, they'll pick that silver dollar up and look it over, and they'll pick up the $100 bill and walk away. I've done it before, and it does. They recognize the silver, but they just want the hundreds. I don't know. People are getting smarter. Maybe you shouldn't. I used to offer. I would work for an 8-hour day on July 4 for anybody for free, you know, because I said there's nothing to celebrate, you know. But nobody ever took it up. But I quit that too because one of these days somebody's going to take it up, and I'm not going to do it.
I was going to say, does that offer still stand?
Yeah.
For the right person, it's going to be selective. No, if you need a hand, I'll give you a hand.
You're going to qualify it now. Yeah.
Yep. No, but,
We are just about out of time.
Yeah, we are. Guys, thanks so much for joining us. And Remnant, thank you for tuning in and for joining us this morning. And we invite you to come to church with us tomorrow. Good Lord willing, we're going to be firing things up at 8:30 a.m. Mountain Time. We would enjoy it if you did. We'll fire it up there. You can join us at scripturesforamerica.org. Again, scripturesforamerica.org. I've kind of reworked the website a little bit. And whether it's on your smartphone or on your computer or your tablet, you can log right in and click on the live video stream. And we'll have a review of the news. We'll have a timeless pulpit truth, a new message, and some an opportunity for you to partake of communion as well. So we hope you'll join us. Thanks again. God bless, and we'll see you at church tomorrow.
Rolling, 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 this country stolen, keep on rolling over Snake High. Fast and pray together, make them hell send forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride. Disapproving, keep on moving over Snake High. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting, be waiting at the end of our ride. Disapproving, keep on moving over Snake High. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting at the end of our ride.